It's time for Your Home with Mike and Jill, a talk show about everything Long Island. And here are Mike McLean and Jill Conway McDowell.
Well, hello, everybody. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday to you, Jill. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, everyone.
So this is our show, Your Home with Mike and Jill. And we just wanted to thank you for joining in again for another fabulous week. So, Mike.
Yes.
How was your weekend?
My week was great. No complaints. The weather has been fantastic, right? And I'm doing really well. I can't complain.
How about you?
Good.
I'm not a cold person. I don't like the cold weather, but, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, we're alive. What about a couple of days ago when that wind was really tough and
howling.
Those temperatures were really, really cold, but some sunny days ahead.
All right. So we have a special guest today.
We sure do.
We like to bring in special guests.
We do.
Yeah, right. So our special guest is John Thiessen, and everyone, I mean, if you watch News 12 and you see Newsday, if you've watched Steve Harvey's show, you know John Thiessen, and he is an old friend of mine and a great guy, and he has an amazing story to tell. So let's welcome him in. John, are you there?
Yes, hi. How are you guys?
Good.
Happy Sunday to you both.
Thank you, John. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on this morning. We're so looking forward to our chat, just to kind of learn a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and what a great guy you are.
Oh, yeah. I really appreciate it. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
All right. So, John, tell us first about your story. Take us back to, I first met you 20-some years ago. You were on your front lawn. And you were collecting toys, in December. And it was one of my first news stories ever at News 12 back in the day. I was around Thanksgiving, I feel like. I can't remember. Yeah, right. Maybe the weekend of Thanksgiving. My first weekend, I think I was there. And I met you. And you were standing on your lawn collecting toys. And you had a big pile there. Tell us what you were doing. And then we'll talk about your story.
Yeah, of course. So I was standing on my lawn doing our toy drive, and that I started the foundation itself, starting as a holiday toy drive, an annual holiday toy drive, way back in 1992.
And, the John Thiessen Children's Foundation.
The John Thiessen Children's Foundation. And originally it was just a holiday collection, because some years before that I was in the hospital in a pediatric oncology floor and traumatized by what I saw. And I was in there during the holidays, during Christmas and Hanukkah. So When I got better and et cetera, I started this holiday drive, and it started on my parents' front lawn, and people used to come from all over and drop off, you know, meet me and greet me, et cetera. And I would, you know, I'd have all kinds of donations coming in, and that's how it started. And I mean, it didn't just start with the idea. I was 17 years old. I had a brain tumor, and that was really hard for me. I mean, I was back in 88. I didn't really know many kids that were sick, but luckily, I had a nice brain tumor. I mean, I had a brain tumor that was not gonna kill me, but it was certainly destructive to the surrounding areas of my head. And back then my surgery was 10 hours long. And but the hardest part was being with the kids. And I was supposed to be on the surgical floor. I was at Schneider's Children's Hospital, which is now Cohen's, but they had me on the oncology floor because there was no room. And it was so hard. I mean, there was just so many kids walking around with IV poles and kids with cancer. And you know, growing up in the 80s and 70s, I only knew one kid that had cancer. I didn't realize it was out there like that. I mean, today it's almost like the common cold, unfortunately. But it hit me hard, and I left the hospital a week later, and I said, I'm going to be back to help out kids like this. I told my mom that, and I started the drive 3 years later.
Well, all right, so I'm sorry. So, no, but you're leaving out a big thing. So,
I am.
Tasha.
I was just going to bring her
on. See, Mike, high five. What?
High five.
Okay, go ahead. Talk about, so you, I mean, right, you said, I mean, you were, gosh, you were on the football team. And then tell me, first off, how you found out that you had a tumor. Like what?
So it was September 28th of 1988. It was my senior year. And I had been getting headaches over the summer. And the doctors back then were just saying it's allergies, et cetera. One doctor put me on antibiotics because they thought it was a sinus infection. And then finally I started like losing sight in my left eye a little bit. And it was time to get a CAT scan. And I got that on September 28th, and I found out. I came home about an hour after the CAT scan. I went to go get something to eat, and I came home, and my mom was at the table crying. And I said, Mom, what's the matter? I thought someone died. I didn't even think about it. And she said, it's not good, John. You have a brain tumor.
Wow.
And I remember just running over to her and just, you know, hugging her and crying and saying, how long do I have to live? So fast forward to December when I finally was going to have the surgery. It was December 8th of 1988 that I walked into Cohen's Children's Hospital, and Schneider's Children's Hospital, I say. And I got off on the fourth floor, and I went into my room, and this little girl, I'm talking to the doctor and the nurses about my surgery, and they're talking to me, you know, just normal admittance stuff. And in walked this little girl with pajamas, and she looked around 7 years old, 7, 8 years old, and she introduced herself. She said, "Hi, I'm Tasha," and she said, "Welcome to Med 4." And it was really strange. I mean, one, that this little girl was just walking around in her pajamas like she was home, and you know, she welcomed me, and later when I left, they had said, "Oh, it's only a matter of time before you met Tasha. She's like the mayor of the floor." So Tasha had become, you know, for some reason, I mean, there were like 35 other rooms on that floor, and she was just in and out of my room all the time, asking my mom, "When's John coming back from surgery?" And when I was out of it, my girlfriend who was with me at the time, she would, like, Tasha would ask her to do her hair for me and stuff to make her look pretty, et cetera. And it was really sad, and I found out that her family was never around, and she'd be dropped off there for weeks at a time, and when it was her time for treatment to be done, she'd be picked up, and this poor little 7-year-old girl was left there all alone, and it was heartbreaking. So they were having a holiday party. It was during Christmas and Hanukkah, and the kids were going to go downstairs and spend time with their families and be like regular kids. And Tasha came in, and she had a dress on the morning of the party, and she was so excited. But about a half hour later, she came in crying, and my mom said, "I remember, I was like in and out of it, and I remember my mom going, 'Tasha, what's the matter?' And she goes, 'I'm not going to be able to go down to the party. My family's not going to come.'" And at this point, I could hear the kids going down with their families, because this was like a special day for these kids. This was kids with cancer and life-threatening illnesses, and my mom said, "Tasha, don't worry, I'll take you down. John has to stay in bed. He has to sleep. I'll take you down. I'll hang out with you." And then she got all upset that I couldn't go down. I was 17 years old. I didn't want to go. I just had 10-hour brain surgery 3 days before. But I remember her going down, and my mom spent some time down there with her. And when it was her time to go get a gift, she went up there, and they went to hand her a teddy bear. And she says, "I don't want this for me. I want it for my friend upstairs to make him feel better." And,
wow.
I was sleeping, and she woke me up. She threw it on top of me and looked like, "I got you." And it was this big teddy bear, and my mom told me about it, you know, some days later. And I just couldn't believe this girl was just, I have a picture in my office, and I'm sleeping with my head turned one way, and she's just sitting on my bed, like, smiling, like, trying to wake me up. She just took to me, and it was just, it's horrible. So I never got to say goodbye to her or anything like that. She had left before I did, but every day I was there, every night I was there, the nurses had to kick her out of my room. And, you know, I left there, and I said, "I got to help out kids like that." And it really didn't hit me until, like, I went to go back to finish my senior year, and I had to have 6 weeks of radiation. The tumor grew back, and then for the next 3 years, I had a lot of reconstructive sinus surgeries because the tumor had destroyed all my sinus bones, and I had tubes in my ears, et cetera. But really, it started hitting me, like, a few years later, like, what that meant, Tasha's gift to give me and what she did for me. And, you know, so I started the holiday toy drive, and then Jill came in.
Boy, what really comes into this is the spirit. The spirit really came into Tasha and to you, and you have done. I have to ask first, how are you feeling?
I'm doing well. I mean, the tumor was based at the base of my brain, and it went through the pituitary, so that was all removed, and then I had all radiation. So, I mean, I'm on 10 meds a day for life. I've had over 17 surgeries. I've had over 50 MRIs on my brain alone. 5 surgeries in the last 5 years, but I'm fine.
I'm fine.
I live for the day, and I love challenges. I've done all kinds of different things, and you know, the foundation, it's my love. I mean, next to my family, my foundation is everything to me. It's a year-round organization. The toy drive, that first annual toy drive that we had in 92, I mean, we collected 800 toys, and I thought that was awesome. And then, you know, each holiday season for the next couple of years, it got bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I mean, bigger and bigger is an understatement.
Yeah.
You collected in 1992 over 800,000 toys, and then it becomes this yearly task, right, a fun thing to do, rewarding, and now you're over 1 million.
Yeah, well, 92 is actually 800 toys in just 2 weeks back then, just 2 weekends. And then it just got bigger and bigger, and last year we collected and distributed over 100,000 gifts just during the holiday time. And, you know, the foundation, it's a year-round organization. We do wishes. We do medical expenses. I have a family fun center here in Wantagh. But, you know, it's just our logo is a girl holding a teddy bear. And, you know, it's just it's for kids right here on Long Island.
You know, John, you make such light of that you've been through, I mean, all those surgeries. I mean, I complain of a headache sometimes. And here you are. You've been through so much, and yet some people would just, you know, kind of throw in the towel and say, "It is what it is, woe is me, you know, life has been hard on me." But you you completely let this change your life and inspire you to create this amazing foundation that talk about the foundation and what you do, and you help all these kids who are sometimes at the very end of their lives, and it's so, so sad.
Yeah, that's really, really the hard part of it, and getting back to that when you mentioned about the day I was diagnosed, with September 28th, and like I said, if I can't, I say this all the time. I mean, that was the day my life changed forever. And if I came home that day and my mom told me the CAT scan was good and everything is good and there's just allergies, I wouldn't change it for the life of me. And you know, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And my foundation over the years, from helping build hospital rooms to I mean, some of the kids, when we deal with the kids on hospice, and you know, I've gotten letters from kids, and over the years, I mean, especially here, like right now, I'm at the Family Fun Center. I'm here 7 days a week, and we normally, during non-COVID times, we give kids free parties here. So we have a fun center that I opened up 17 years ago, and we have all TV, flat screen TVs when you walk in the first section, and each one has a game system. Then we have an arcade room. Then we have a arts and crafts room and a wish room. And normally on the weekends or whenever, we give kids free parties, from pizza, cake, everything for free. For kids that have cancer, the kids that have life-threatening illnesses, kids that can't afford birthday parties. But the kids that we lose, it's just horrible. I mean, I just made a donation to a family 2 days before the girl was supposed to turn one. She got a rare brain tumor, and both the parents are out of work right now. So, I mean, one-year-old girl with brain cancer, it's crazy. It's crazy. So, I mean, you know, for me to not do anything, that was, like, not an option. It never even came to me. This was, like, an automatic thing for me. And I wake up every day and, you know, when we bring in all different programs to the table, from lately, the last couple of years, what we've been doing is providing transportation for families, kids especially, like, who live on Long Island and they get treated in the city. Their parents have to drive them in. They got to worry about tolls. They got to worry about parking. They got to worry about. We provide transportation to and from hospitals.
It's miles and miles, right?
Miles and miles.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And we have a pony therapy program now, which is amazing. Started that in 2018. Surf, we have a pony. And he's just incredible. I mean, the good thing about that is I thought with our pony therapy program, I thought a lot of the kids who, you know, who we normally help with would be the ones who are coming. But we actually help out a lot of children with autism. And I mean, I helped that one child. It's amazing. So Surf is a Welsh pony. He's not a mini, but he's not a large. And he's just an incredible pony. He's like a big dog. And this boy that came to see him, 8 years old, the mom had called me and said that he does say a few words, but she doesn't know how he's going to react to the pony. He loves animals. He has autism. And not nonverbal. He does say just like two or three words every once in a while. And so he came and make things, you know, skip forward. After like 20 minutes of being with Surf, he started to get close to Surf and touch Surf. And then we gave him a brush, and he was brushing Surf. And when it was time to give him a pony ride, he didn't resist us. We put the helmet on, and then we were walking him around, and we were telling him, you know, if you want Surf to go faster, say giddy up, et cetera. We're giving him commands, and what do you know, within 20 minutes, he started giving Surf commands and started talking.
Oh.
Wow.
It was amazing. I mean, for that moment, if I didn't have any other child visit Surf, that was worth it. And he's now a frequent visitor, and the mom bought me, like, this special thing, and she was next to us, and she just started crying. And now he says, like, 10 things regarding Surf.
John, you know, I wanted to say something to you. And when Jill and I had this great idea of having a show that we're so, you know, honored and humbled to do every Sunday, our mission was just simply to kind of spread good news, to spread good messages, to share the good with all of so much bad that's out there, and to really see and feel the beauty. And I have to tell you, I'm so touched just to be able to talk with you just for a few minutes right now and say thank you, because your work is truly remarkable. And it's just amazing with what your experience was like going back so many years ago with the teddy bear, with Tasha, and what your story has done for yourself and for all of those folks that are out there, and how you help people. I'm telling you, you made a difference already in my energy today. And I truly hope, and which I am most certain, that for all the folks that are listening this morning, are really going to have a different sort of day knowing that there are people like you out there. And I know that there's so much more that we want to talk to you about.
Yeah. John, I know you had that, you know, for years you were searching for Tasha. You didn't know what happened to her. And then you got the bad news this year. Right?
Yeah, I
or last year.
Yeah, yeah. I had a really tough year last year, and everyone did with COVID. And I was, you know, one of my you know, strong rocks since I started the foundation was my mom, and she had developed cancer and passed away in September, and she did everything for me with the foundation, and then in November I lost my best friend in an auto accident. A drunk driver hit him, and then every holiday season during the tour drive, I put out the picture of Tasha, and I make the plea and try and spread it as much as I could, and then someone finally actually reached out to me through a mutual friend and said that they actually took care of Tasha. They were one of the doctors there. It was kind of like a PA thing. And they knew all along what had happened to her, but I happened to be one of my friends is very close with her husband. And she just had to tell me off the record. And obviously, you know, it's tough, but she just told me that unfortunately Tasha had passed away a few years after I had met her. That was heartbreaking because I people always said, well, you know, didn't you kind of think? And I said, I didn't. I actually always held out hope, and I knew with all the coverage we had, et cetera, that, you know, I knew it was from a broken family. I never really judged too much, but from what I was told, that she came from a really broken family, and it was, she had a tough life, and it's horrible at such a young age, and to hear that, but, you know, now I kind of have closure, but it's upsetting, but I at least now, you know, her spirit is living through the foundation, and you know, back in 1992, if I would have known what the foundation would have become, then it would have certainly been named after Tasha. But at least I could have done a logo after her. I mean, she's the angel. She's an angel. And at times, I was wondering if she was actually real, because I don't know any other 7-year-old that would be in the hospital with cancer, left there for weeks at a time, and want to give back to so many people and make them happy instead. It's just crazy. It really is. Mm.
It's very sad. And she passed from cancer, I'm assuming?
Yeah. Mm. She had a type of cancer. But like I said, it's just, it was such a blessing, and everything was meant to be. And it's just, I'm very spiritual. I mean, I was from day one. But you know, the crazy thing is on December 9th of 1988, 2 hours before my surgery, my surgeon came in, who was a world-renowned doctor, and he just laid it out there for me. I was only 17 years old, but he said, John, I'm just telling you that, you know, I just want to lay it all out there with the pituitary removal, et cetera. You know, the chances of you having children in the future are going to be slim to none. And, you know, I was upset by that. He left, and I didn't even care so much about the brain surgery anymore. I couldn't believe it, because I played sports my whole life, and I always just wanted to have that son to play ball with. And, you know, obviously not at 17 years old, but when I grew up, that's what I was looking for. And when I heard that news, I mean, for years I was in therapy. Because of everything I experienced, and too, because I didn't think I'd ever have kids. And the amazing thing is 11 years to that day, I had my son, John.
To the
wow.
day.
To the day. And that was my Amen. Wife's original due date also.
Wow.
Yeah.
And John, tell us quick. I mean, you have a very close relationship with Teresa Caputo. She has done fundraisers for you. I was at one, and she was reading everybody. She was a big, you know, doing her thing. And a lot of the kids who had passed on, who you had worked for with their families and them at your foundation, came through and said thank you.
Yeah, Teresa's amazing. I mean, the one, were you at the one with Mulcahy's? Was that the
yes.
one?
Yes, yeah, it was yeah, a Christmas
was,
one.
Yeah, it was yeah. really amazing. I mean, I remember her going through that and stuff, and she kept talking about 10 kids. Mm. And now, I never discuss anything with Teresa. Anytime she does any fundraisers for me, I'm the only one that knows who's coming, et cetera. She doesn't know anything, so she just kept talking about 10 kids, and I wasn't paying attention, and I wouldn't jump in. But then she talks about this girl in little princess pajamas and is tugging at her. And this is going on for about a half hour, and then when she mentioned 10 kids, I knew exactly what it was, and I said, Teresa, and I interrupted, if you remember, they were filming, and I said, Teresa, yep. I know who that is. I know you keep asking. I said, this little girl, Jessica, died a few years prior to that, and a week before she passed, she only wanted to see one person, and it was me, and I bought her Disney princess pajamas, and she loved them so much that they buried her in them, and she was only like six or seven at the time.
Oh, my God.
And the crazy thing is Teresa's explaining what she looks like in the Disney princess pajamas, and then Teresa turns around, and every time I have an event, I have an event bag that has all my stuff in it, and she goes, John, what's with the ornament? The little girl's talking to me about the ornament. I said, I couldn't believe it. My jaw dropped. I said, Teresa, in that bag, the mom knew I was going to see you tonight, and she made a holiday ornament for you with Jessica's name on it. And Teresa's like, oh, my God, you know.
And you do have something coming up with her, right?
I can't say. Yeah, I mean, Teresa's
I just
always,
did.
Yeah, I always.
Good job.
Yeah. I always try and do my, you know, even if she's ever doing a fundraiser for anyone else, a family. I mean, she's all about the community. Obviously, I mean, she's still here and she's all about the community. So if she never over the years when she needed help with anything, I would be the first one there. And she's just always attended my events, and she's absolutely truly amazing. And she's really what about Long Island is. I mean, she's made it so big, and she's right here, right in the heart. And she's just a regular person, and she's so cool. But she's very good at what she does.
Yeah, she
crazy.
Is
crazy.
You know, speaking about being good at what you what people do, that's for sure you. And I just want to encourage people, whether it be about events or programs that you have, or if they're just simply looking to volunteer, to check out your website, John, jtcf.org. I got to tell you, it's pretty overwhelming. It's pretty amazing. And just the experience that we've had this, you know, short time, you've definitely have given me the chills, and my eyes definitely kind of filled a tad bit listening to these overwhelming stories. But I think that you're an exceptional human being. And I think that Long Island is lucky to have you here. And really spreading all the love that you do.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. I'm blessed to be in Long Island. Those have been incredible. I always consider this a community foundation. I'm honored to be part of Long Island, and Long Island always takes care of my foundation, and we have each other's backs, and that's what I think it's about.
But you do always need donations. I mean, with the pandemic, I'm assuming that, you know, you haven't been able to have your big fundraisers, and you know, I mean, all the celebrities come, and I mean, it's a big deal, and you haven't been able to do that. So
we haven't been able to do anything. No, we're doing a bake sale through Francesco's Bakery every day. I've literally become a baker, so it's been
and it's good. It's delicious.
Yeah.
I've actually bought some stuff. It's
very good. Yeah, Franco from Francesco's is amazing, and he provides bakery goods every day since November, and it's been helping us stay open and whatnot. But I just take day by day. I've learned that a long time ago.
Maybe we can make a pact here, you know, going forward in our venture with the show. And now with you being part of it, when you have an upcoming event, why don't you call us back? Let us know the details. Let's talk more, too, and let's stay in touch because, again, what you do is phenomenal, and it's all about the good news that we want to spread out, and you're truly that. And I know that there is probably a lot of events that you're going to be hosting once the pandemic is lifted, and we want to be out there with you, John. So I look forward to, you know, meeting with you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. I really, really appreciate it.
And just give your address quick, John.
Sure. It's 1881 Wantagh Avenue, Wantagh, and it's jtcf.org for John Thiessen Children's Foundation. And I appreciate you guys having me on, and go enjoy your Sunday. Sundays are blessings. I love Sunday mornings when I can get out there early. And I think, you know, go enjoy your Sunday. And thank you so much for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
Okay. And wait, also, John, your phone number.
Yes, 516-679-TOYS.
Easy enough. 516.
A lot more about toys then, but go ahead.
Yeah.
516-679-TOYS.
Right.
All right, John. Thank you so much for telling everyone your story. It always moves me, really. Every time I talk to you. So
we love you, John, and thank you so much for today.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
No
problem. Have a great day.
You too. Bye, John.
Bye.
So, right?
Wow.
Yeah. No. I mean, he's awesome.
That was truly phenomenal. It was touching.
It is.
It was touching beyond belief.
I know.
Jill, you have talked to me about him for so long. For so long. I've read about him, you know, and just listening to the story of Tasha, I saw your eyes fill up, you know, and it's moved my day and it's changed my day. And thank you for bringing him in today. Honest to God.
I told you would love him. And I love the story. And I'm welling up now because it is so moving. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, you think about, and you know, he talks in with such nonchalance about how many families he's helped, but he's helped, you know, hundreds if not thousands of families who are, I mean, getting the word that your child is ill and could die, and often cases that's what happens, and that he grants their last wish, and it's sometimes simple as I just want a toy, I want a party. And he opens it, and there's a toy room where they go shopping. Ugh.
And these kids, you know, are beyond grateful. There's a different measure to them. They weren't even looking for it.
Right.
They're almost ready to give it
right
to someone else. The guy was exceptional. I have no words. And you know me, I'm always filled with words.
Right.
But he was very, very profound. And at the end, I said, I love you, and I don't even know him.
I love you, John.
I love you, John. I truly love everything that he's about. He's just a...
Because he's about giving back.
Yeah.
I mean, you really think about it. And we know a lot of people, Mike, who have, and everyone has a story. Everyone's been through something really tough in their life, right? We're not supposed to be going through life coasting, you know? So you go through something, and then, but you have him who, like, and he's going through still a lot of stuff, you know? He's had how many surgeries in the past 5 years?
Right.
So, but yet it doesn't stop him. And he's an extremist, too. So he does extreme, like, sports. Because he's just, I'm living out loud, you know? So he does all that and yet bends over backwards for the kids on Long Island.
My mom always said something to us growing up, and she still says it today, God bless her, at the age of 80. She says, Michael, we are all given gifts. Mm. It's what you choose to do with those gifts.
Right.
And he truly does them.
Right.
He truly utilizes those gifts that he has. And, you know, when we talk about feel good, when we talk about what we do, how we have this honor of hanging out on Sundays together, right?
Right.
And sharing these people's stories. Guys, that's what this is about. It's about us kind of redirecting our energy and saying, let's do good today. Let's put that smile on. Let's make someone feel good. And you know what? It's okay to kind of like take a step back and say, how do I want to change my day?
Right.
Ooh. How can I really make someone feel better? Because in return, that makes you feel better. And those are the gifts that you're given.
You know, it's funny. What did I just hear on the radio? Something like, you know, when you're going through something, it's meant to, for whatever reason and whatever the circumstance is, you're meant to grow from it, right? And I think he's a classic example of that. His whole life changed. The trajectory of his life changed over one little girl coming into his room.
Tasha.
Right? Isn't that amazing? Like, and we all talk about everything happens for a reason, but boy, you don't really know when that moment will happen.
And she still lives on.
Right, right. Amazing.
It's like her story is yet to be finished, and it probably won't be finished for a very, very long time.
Right.
So to you, Tasha, thank you.
Yeah, I think it's really amazing. So, so again, fundraisers are incredibly down, obviously. So if you do, you know, want to stop in with a toy or gift card or something, if you can help out, truly. And just to see the foundation, it's pretty awesome. Go buy cannolis there because they're delicious. I bought cannolis. I bought brownies. I think I bought beautiful. They are delicious.
Yeah, you know, check out John Thiessen. He's got information on his website, which is thorough. There's a lot of stories. You know, as I mentioned before, his phone number is 516-679-TOYS. His website, jtcf.org. It's a great way, guys, if you want to kind of, you know, change your course of where you are at. And if you want to get involved with something really special, and that's right here on Long Island, you know, check him out. He's really influential, that's for sure. When you talk about influencers, he's one.
Right, definitely. And also, so if you want to contact us, you know, Mike always says it's your home at signaturepremier.com. And you can also contact us on our Facebook page, too.
Absolutely.
If you have any ideas for guests, we're always open to that. Or, you know, we are real estate agents as well, former news personalities.
Don't forget, the market's high. You think about selling, call Mike and Jill.
It really is. I did. You know, I listed a house this week, $750, and we had 40, about 40 showings in 2 or 3 days.
Isn't that crazy? Congrats,
and multiple offers. Ridiculous.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
So we only have about a minute or so left, right? And what do we have next week? We got...
our News 12 reunion. Are you all verklempt? What happened just then?
I just choked on my water, but I'm back. Yeah, we've got our News 12 reunion.
So who is it, Mike?
We have folks that had told their stories, told the Long Island stories for decades. Colleen McVay, Lee Tyrell. And remember that weather guy, Bill Corbell?
We love him, yeah.
Yeah, he kind of is close by to our offices here. He's also going to talk about what he's doing now. They're all going to talk about what they're doing now. But Bill's a pretty cool guy. His story's fun. He's also a pilot. So we'll get to learn about what it was like doing news for so long and what they're doing now. And we'll have fun with them because, you know, we kind of worked with them for a while.
Yeah, very nice. So that's exciting. So be sure to tune in. And if you just maybe caught the end of this, I'll listen to our podcast on iTunes. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. You are luckier than you know.
Right.
Have a great day and a great week ahead.
Amen.